This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Mozilla is more than an Apple MDM. Mozilla is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozilla.com. That's business.mozilla.com. Thanks to Mozilla for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host as always. This week on the show, first-time guest, Duncan Berrigan from Lunos. Duncan, welcome to Apple at Work.
Thanks for having me, Bradley. It's great to be here.
So we're going to get into Lunos, but in prepping for this show, I've been thinking a lot about where I see AI affecting different aspects of corporate life, and obviously the news is all around vibe coding and things like that. But I do think there's going to be a lot of automation that happens on the operations and finance side of companies that I don't think a lot of people maybe in the tech industry are thinking about now. And when I learned about you all, I kind of thought, well, this makes a ton of sense. So we're going to talk about something that's quote unquote boring to a lot of people, but it's account receivables. But I think if you're in tech and you go talk to your finance team, this is one of the most critical aspects of an entire organization's operations flow with how payments happen. And I think there's going to be a lot of automation. Right now, this is just a lot of back and forth with vendors and various things like that. And I think there's just a lot of automation that's going to happen here. So to kick it off, tell us about Lunos and where your vision is of AI for accounts receivable.
Lunos is building the agent-to-agent network for B2B commerce. So most people don't know this, but the largest value flow in the global economy still runs over email, spreadsheets, PDFs. There's $100 trillion plus of trade between businesses that is handled by people and has been for thousands of years. So at Lunos, yeah, we are building the agents to power agent-to-agent commerce to move things at the speed of agents rather than at the speed of the spreadsheets, the PDFs, and the human emails.
The speed of spreadsheets it's going to be the title of this episode because that's perfect. Because this is, finance is just obviously has to be exact. And so you're going back and forth and you're negotiating. If a company adopts Lunos, how does that really overhaul their accounts receivable? Is it handling the negotiation? Is it handling the follow-up? What part of the AR process is Lunos really designed to take over for you?
Yeah, the realization that I had, so I've spent, for context, I spent over a decade in payments, helping businesses to get paid. And for most of that, I was helping to pull money from people's bank accounts when it was due. I ran product and marketing at a European fintech called GoCardless. And the realization I had was that there's pretty good reasons why this has still been done by humans since, as I said, thousands of years. The very first writing, for those that don't know, I say they're invoices. It said for barley or whatever in the date, which I suppose could be a receipt too, but I always say it was an invoice. And I think the reason it's been done that way is because it's ultimately a communication and negotiation problem. And having humans do it was the way to have, the communication skills and the flexibility that you need. So the way I've approached it with Lunos is to say, well, why don't we accept that, people have done this with humans for a reason and humans have got good ways of doing this. Let's do it in the same way with an AI worker that tries to do the job like an AR professional would. But two crucial changes. One is that it's scalable, and two is that it's optimizable. And, as we said, it can move at the speed that agents can work rather than having to wait for humans to pick it up when they wake up. The simple way to think about it is just imagine what you'd be doing if you were doing it yourself, and then Lunos tries to do it for you. So, yeah, as you say, everything from, those, the automated chasing emails that you might have sent for you because you don't have time, well, Lunos can send them how you would if you were writing it to that customer. And then, as you said, as you touched on, the we call it the Wild West, actually, of the crazy madness that goes on once you begin this process and all of the edge cases that you hit.
Well, and obviously, you know, this whole year has been the year of agents. A lot of cool use cases. And obviously, I look at what I'm hearing about Lunos is really something that's not like it's trying to invent something new, but more just take something that you're doing today and really, really, you know, kind of making it agentified. But on the flip side, like obviously, every IT department is concerned about security. We're hearing the news this week about Versal's recent breach through an AI tool, and that was given access to their Google Workspace account. I'll have a link in the show notes for that. But obviously, that's a huge problem. How do you convince IT? Because this is clearly going to be something that's going to be finance is going to want to want and want to leverage. How do you convince IT that this system, you can kind of let this system go and run wild on your accounts receivables, and run wild, not meaning you do nefarious things, but like let it loose and let it do its job. How does it do it in a secure way? I guess is my question.
You're spot on that, every finance team we speak to that wants it, almost all of them will send us to security and to IT for exactly these reasons. I'll skip the part. I'm sure everyone listening, will expect, of course, we take security seriously. I'm a payments guy, right? I've dealt with everything that comes with that. And, everyone says that. But I think what we aim to do is to show we're different a little bit more structurally, actually, rather than, taking security seriously as the table stakes. So I think the first piece is that it's specialist. There's a big difference between a generalist system that's trying to do this and all the data it accesses, all the stuff it does, versus Lunos. We approach this more like an iceberg where there's a huge amount of work below the surface that's critical for the bit that you're actually looking. So, not only is its purpose specialist, it's doing, as you described it yourself, I loved it. It's a boring job. I always say this is an interesting solution to a boring problem. It's scoped only to that, but also all of the data. This isn't an agent that is running around calling MCPs on your every part of your data stack, right? This is tightly stitching together the data, doing the old school software work, if you like, on making sure that the two, the entity in Salesforce and the entity in NetSuite, the right two are linked together, so it can't possibly email the wrong person. Tightly scoping it so that the agent can only see the data that it should be when it's thinking about that customer. So I think there's a lot of that below the surface that's really important. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to add, so you mentioned NetSuite, obviously you're integrating in with the existing payment systems. Is that integration like complex? Is this something where IT is going to have to be working for weeks to get this integrated? Or is it really the heavy lifting is done by Lunos and your team?
Our goal is to make onboarding the Lunos agent like onboarding a new hire. So, hits the ground running quickly, gets better with time. When it comes to connecting it, we make it as plug and play as possible. So I think everyone that's come across NetSuite will know that there's a few more buttons to click when you're using NetSuite and a few more buttons to click when you're using Salesforce than it would be with a, QuickBooks and HubSpot as your task. But from that perspective, we're absolutely building it to be as simple to get started as possible. And ultimately, we should be taking on the pain rather than you.
Well, something you're talking about is emailing people in Salesforce or emailing people in NetSuite. Yes, AI can hallucinate when you ask it things. But on the flip side, humans make mistakes. And so whether it just be like emailing the wrong person, calling them by the wrong name, referencing the wrong invoice, those are opportunities where I would argue AI is very much better suited to handle that because it's very much a yes, no. It's like it is this where if you're an AR rep at a company, you can make a copy paste error real quick.
Yeah, we see that all the time. And it's kind of an interesting comparison you make between the human rates and the AI rates. And certainly what we seek to do is to actually beat those human rates for exactly the reasons you described. So I think one of the ways we approach it actually kind of comes back as well to, how do we convince the IT department is to make autonomy a dial, not a switch. So we have these payer modes, which you can loosely think of as monitor, suggest an act that affect how human in the loop it is. And then, you know, like Claude Code or something, you can configure on act mode, you know, what does it do without you? And what does it do? You know, what does it require your approval for? But yeah, I think we use that to help people get things to the point where they've trained it enough and they, you know, it understands the context about each customer enough to not make those. But ultimately, it comes back to the data point again. You know, if you save the wrong contact on the wrong account in your CRM, obviously there's a chance that, you know, Lunos can make that mistake and contact the wrong person. But we seek to overcome that and actually help you to have the tools to question your data quality. So yeah, it's kind of the mistakes should be less common than the humans, because it can only make it when you've got them there. The next phase really is how to help people preventing it be there in the first place.
So in y'all's vision, like, you're really looking to be an almost like an AI worker. You know, we got to come up with a new term, but like, it's not just a tool. It's like just, it's a part of your team. Well, obviously on the flip side, accounts payable on a company's end is probably going to have the same type solution. So ultimately, like, you may have AR agents working together with accounts payable agents, negotiating contracts, negotiating, you know, payment due dates, et cetera. Like, is that the vision here? And at that point, do you need less people in finance, or are they going to be scaled up to be different, doing different things? And that's what I think is the ultimate vision here, is as things are automated, humans move up the chain to do things they're better suited for. But this seems like a world where you could really have AR and AP agents talking together nonstop.
That's absolutely the vision, is for this network. I often make the analogy to driverless cars, where, you know, the Lunos as your AR agent is like having your own driverless car, which is great because, you know, you don't have to drive it and it can drive more safely than you. In our case, you don't have to handle the comms and it can handle them, as you mentioned, with, you know, with fewer mistakes than a human might. But things get really interesting when you have that network, which, you know, in driverless cars means the cars can drive closer to each other, right? And everyone can get everywhere more efficiently. The equivalent in the world of B2B commerce, I think, is the massive and economic potential that comes from having both sides be agents, which is where you can, you know, you get to this moving at the speed of agents, not the speed of spreadsheets. So a friend of mine, you know, during the pandemic started a cheese wholesaling business that did really well, actually, but ultimately they, you know, kind of ended up having to sell it for less than they otherwise might because of cash flow, which is unsurprising because that's the number one reason why businesses struggle. But imagine a world where instead of, you know, having all these customers that really appreciate your service and you just can't quite sort out the cash flow in time, the world where the agents can actually negotiate and communicate this, and you can have, you know, five companies that are all trading with each other and one of them's in need of cash flow and another will take a 5% discount on their invoice. That's so not possible at the moment because you'd have to go through sets of junior employees at five different companies for, you know, company one to reach company five. In the world of agent to agent, cash flow almost becomes a tradable commodity between all of these businesses. So for me, that is absolutely the vision. And I think that the world can have greater economic growth and greater prosperity by kind of unclogging the pipes, I suppose.
No, and that makes a ton of sense because, you know, you think about the simplicity of like a credit card payment. There are times when companies, again, go back to cash flow, they will take credit card payments because it's, you know, really more of a turnkey process and they're going to pay the fees, but it's to get the payment right away and not have to go through that like 30, 60, 90 day, even though they'll have, you know, a period where it's obviously could be a chargeback. But it makes a lot. I mean, it's really no different. But like you said, there's no way to do that at scale. Like, hey, if you pay this week, it's, you know, 5% off or 3% off. There's that negotiation can happen. And I'm sure long term, you even learn which customers can do that, which can't. And then it's even, you know, even more and more automated. Again, it makes a ton of sense. So this is like a kind of a boring thing. It's not that finance is boring, but like it's a problem that companies have. And you really, AI is really well suited to do this.
Completely agree. And it's funny, it's actually been the reaction. Sometimes I almost worry it's the reaction of almost everyone to this idea since I first came up with it. yeah, that absolutely should be how it works. So we're just thrilled to be, you know, at the forefront of it, trying to make it happen. It turns out that the Wild West out there, that the million edge cases are the challenge to reach that point. But I've absolutely no doubt we're going to get there, and I'm completely convinced it's going to be pretty transformational once we do.
So you guys work with NetSuite, QuickBooks, Salesforce, HubSpot, Stripe, and other, you know, ERP, CRM tools. So it's really almost anybody that's collecting payments can use this, because you're likely using one of those. And again, it's gonna cut down the legwork on getting, you know, accounts receivable back in. When you kind of like, you know, meeting with last question, I'll let you go. When you're meeting with an IT team, and so your finance is like, yeah, we want this. And when you're meeting with IT, what's the biggest hurdle you face in getting IT to understand your vision of how to do this securely?
I think it does come down to their comfort with allowing agents, you know, into the enterprise, which obviously people do recognize that, externally facing uses, finance uses, are things that need that sort of extra layer of scrutiny. So it kind of comes back a lot to, I think, what we were talking about before around, you know, what are the questions? How do we overcome? How do we show them that we are specialist? How do we show them that we've got strict guardrails and the amount of work that goes into making that not possible? I think that really what people, I think, are increasingly realizing is that there's a difference between the ease at which something can be created into a demo that looks impressive on the surface versus the challenge of making that work in reality, which to me is kind of the shift in building software in the last few years. You know, it used to be that kind of you could see something and you could judge how finished it was, whereas now so much of that is into how do you make sure it's reliable? How do you make sure that it doesn't make mistakes, you know, that ERP has a typo in the contact name, you know, that invoice was partially paid 6 months ago and nobody reconciled it, you know, the customer's team needs a PDF that is uploaded into a portal. There's just so much of this. And I think that what we seek to do is convince people that, you know, we understand that there is a lot of that. We understand that this needs doing in a way that is reliable and in a way that is scalable. And obviously, ultimately, people have fantastic questions that they want to wrap their head around. But we seek to reassure them that we have understood the nature of the problem and that this is built for the 100% rather than the 20% that you see on that, you know, that quick demo.
There's a term that I think fits well based on your background. It's founder market fit. So you have product market fit. This is founder market fit. And I think oftentimes when a founder, you know, is very native to the industry and the problem it's solving, it really lends a lot of credibility, because it's like you're not coming to this like you're coming to this like, hey, I know these problems. I've lived these problems before. We're solving it in a way that is coming at it from first principles, powered by AI. Where, you know, 10 years ago, in some ways, this wouldn't have been possible. But it's looking at, okay, what is the problem today facing AR? And then what's the technology available to solve it? And that's where that Lunos really comes together. And so again, if you're an IT person listening to this, this is an opportunity to take this to your finance team. This is what I see as the future of agents. Is you're not just like spinning up something that you vibe coded. This is leveraging turnkey AI operations that's supported and scalable. And you can kind of unleash some, you know, new tools for your finance team. You're going to look like a hero. So, you know, if you're listening to this, you're not in finance, you're probably not, because this is an IT focused show. This is an opportunity to kind of be proactive about bringing something to your finance team. Duncan, really, really impressive what you guys are building at Lunos. We're going to have a link in the show notes. There's plenty of ways to get started. There's a starter plan that has no monthly fee. And so it's an easy way to get started. And obviously there are pro and enterprise plans as well. But again, there's also, if you want to book a demo, there's a way to do that. It's lunos.ai. We'll have a link in the show notes. Again, checking out it. If you want to take something to your finance team that, you know, is a simple way to get started with agentic workflows, it's a great way to do it. Duncan, thanks for coming on the show this week, and we'll have everybody back on next week.